Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Tonight we're going to talk about the mitzvah, or more accurately, the mivtzah, the campaign of tzedakah. So if we want to understand the mivtzah, the campaign of tzedakah, it's a good idea for us to understand the mitzvah, of course. The Rebbe's mitzvah campaigns were designed to spark the Jewish soul, to get us awake, alive, and Jewish. On the surface, you know, you couldn't think of a more natural mitzvah. You wonder why the Rebbe didn't start speaking about it until 1974. Here, the Rambam has this marvelous way of taking everything that's written anywhere in the oral traditions of Torah and putting them into a few succinct words. So the Rambam, in his laws of Matnas Aniyim, which literally translates as gifts to the poor, in the 10th chapter he starts off and says, Chayovim anu lihizoyer b'mitzvas tzedakah. We have to be exceedingly careful. Chayav means it's mandatory. We're obligated to be exceedingly careful. The word lihizoher, like in modern Hebrew, you know, we say watch out, tizoher, very careful about the mitzvah of tzedakah. Yoter mikol mitzvat asei. More so than all of the other positive mitzvahs of the Torah. There are 248 positive mitzvahs of the Torah. It's a lot of mitzvahs. Many of those mitzvahs are daily mitzvahs. Some of them are annual mitzvahs. Some of those mitzvahs you can only fulfill if you first did an aveda. Like, for example, restoring the thing you stole, or the thing you brazenly took away from somebody else. Some mitzvahs we hope a person never should fulfill. God forbid. If a marriage has to end, there's a positive mitzvah, there's a way that the marriage should end. So these are mitzvahs we hope never to do. And then there are mitzvahs which we do, and we take joy in those mitzvahs. The Rambam says, it's a very bold statement. You have to be a Rambam to make a statement like this. The Rambam says that we are obligated to be careful, not just to fulfill, to be careful, lehizahir, in the mitzvah of tzedakah, more than any other mitzvah in the Torah. What's the Rambam's justification for saying something like that? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Gemara. The Rambam says it openly in the scripture. It's an open verse, it's a pasuk. That Hashem says that the sign, the siman of the tzaddik, of the righteous seed of Avraham Avinu, l'mana sheyitzava es bona v'esbeise acharav, that Avraham Avinu performs this himself and ensures that his family, that his household, that his progeny follows. What is the thing that they're careful of? To do tzedakah. So this is, of all the mitzvahs, the most important mitzvah. Well, so it would seem. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Jerusalem Talmud, when we use the word mitzvah generically, we always refer to tzedakah. Mitzvah means tzedakah. So that's a very natural reason for, if you're having a mitzvah campaign, naturally, if there's a mitzvah that you want to campaign about, a mitzvah that you want to emphasize, a mitzvah that you want to create a sense of adherence to, a sense of loyalty to, that's where you begin. Because this is, you're obligated to do more than any other mitzvahs. Some of the other classes we talked about, why did the Rebbe choose this mitzvah? Here you would say, oh, what's the question why? Because it's the most important of all the mitzvahs. The Rambam is not satisfied. He adds, he says, Ein kisei Yisrael mitkonein. The throne of Israel, which is of course a reference to sovereignty of the Jewish people, as the Targum Yonasan ben Aziel renders it in the Book of Kings. He says, kisei Yisrael is malchus Yisrael. So the sovereignty, the kingdom, the dominion of the Jewish people, the throne of the Jewish people will not be reestablished. Mitkonein means mitukan, will not be fixed, will not be rectified, will not be restored. The data emet, and the faith, the true faith, is not able to be omedet ella bitzdaka. That is the one thing that is able to restore Am Yisrael to its rightful place, the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Rambam says it's a pasuk. Bitzdaka to kainani. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And then, we don't live in a time where we can see Malchus Yisrael restored without the coming of Mashiach. That's the reality. We're in a big gullus. So the Rambam finishes off by saying, Ve'ein Yisrael nigolin, the Jewish people will not be redeemed, Ella save mitzdaka, with the mitzvah of tzedakah. Shanemer, and he quotes another pasuk from Yeshayahu, who's the prophet of redemption, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shoveh b'tzedakah, Zion be redeemed through justice, and her captives will come home by virtue of the performance of tzedakah. The Rambam doesn't even mention the idea that tzedakah tatzel mimavas, which many people emphasize, tzedakah saves from death. Everything the Rambam talks about here is positive. It's all positive reinforcement. It's about that this is the most important mitzvah. It's about that the future of the Jewish people is only guaranteed through tzedakah. And it's about redemption. A global transformation that will affect everybody is brought about. Ella, the word Ella means only with the concept of tzedakah. All right, it's a very important mitzvah, so it's naturally going to be the Rebbe's mitzvah campaign. So what was the Rebbe's mitzvah campaign? His mitzvah campaign was to raise a lot of money for tzedakah. No. The Rebbe's mitzvah campaign was to get tzedakah boxes everywhere. That was his campaign. His campaign was that we should have tzedakah boxes in every place possible. He talked about having tzedakah boxes where the chayalim were. He talked about having tzedakah boxes where everybody's personal home is. And if you'll see in the later years all the encounters, it almost looks like, I can't tell you in a percentage, whether it's 70% or 80%, but every time the Rebbe meets somebody in a position of power, whether he's a municipal individual, somebody in the mayor's office, or somebody in a national office, Jew or Gentile, the Rebbe right away suggests he wants to know if they have a tzedakah pushka, they have a tzedakah box. And the Rebbe would oftentimes, when he would greet people and give them a dollar, he would tell them, when they have a tzedakah box, put this in the tzedakah box that's over there. The Rebbe made a big deal about tzedakah boxes. In other words, a big deal about giving tzedakah. The idea that people should give tzedakah very often. So the premise will be then that the Rebbe's idea of tzedakah is that tzedakah should be given often. It's not about how much money, it's not about the effect of tzedakah, it's the fact that tzedakah should be given. It's a reasonable premise? Sounds. So let me leap forward in the same chapter of Rambam. The Rambam says something very interesting, which is based on the words of Chazal, but nobody codified it with such clarity. The Rambam talks about the virtue of tzedakah now, the maila of tzedakah. And he says that there are shmeina mailas, that there are eight virtues of tzedakah. Zol maila mizol, one is higher than the other. The Rambam says that the highest form of tzedakah is a person who helps an individual who is impoverished to be sustained. And therefore, the Rambam says he would give him either a gift, doesn't say tzedakah, doesn't say mammon, doesn't say money, so give him a gift, or a halva, he'll give him a loan. Or, he doesn't give him anything. He just takes him into the business. Oysa imay shutafas. He says, come, you'll be my partner. I put up the money, you do the work. And the Rambam says that he would do this, kedei lechazek es yadei, to strengthen his hand, so that this individual shouldn't have to go around begging. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. You help the stranger, the proselyte, and he can live with you. Hold him up, prop him up, before he collapses and falls. That's the highest level of tzedakah. How much did he have to give in the highest level of tzedakah? Nothing. You have to give till it hurt? No. What if you gave nothing? What if every penny you invested, you got back? It's a loan. You helped a guy. What if you didn't give him any money at all? What if you just gave him a fishing rod and told him how to fish? Now he has lunch. What if you took him into your business? You made him a partner. You didn't really do anything. You just kind of gave him a job. And so he should feel that the success of the company is relevant and meaningful. You can't afford to just pay a fellow a salary. So you say, listen, I'm taking you into the job. If you sell, then you'll be able to eat. Makes him a partner, and the guy does very well. The Rambam says that's the highest level of tzedakah. He's very careful when he talks about the virtues of tzedakah. He doesn't say that there are lateral, different madregas of tzedakah. He says this is one kind of tzedakah. Here's a third, second. Here's a third kind. Different kinds of tzedakah where no one is greater or smaller than the other, but they're all different forms of tzedakah. The Rambam chooses words very carefully, and he says that there are shmeina milas, and he says you should know that this idea of different virtues is not lateral virtues, but it's zoy lemaila mizoy. One is higher than the other. Which means Before the Rambam starts telling you about the virtues of tzedakah, he says, I'm going to tell you about which level of tzedakah is the highest, higher than everything else. And the highest level of tzedakah, the person did not even give any tzedakah. The second level of tzedakah, where everything is in anonymity. Anonymity is not about you not getting credit. Because if that's what it was about, you being humble and modest, then what we're going to read doesn't really make sense. The Rambam says that the next level of tzedakah is you don't know to who you gave, and they don't know from whom they received. That's the second level of tzedakah. The third level, which is beneath that, is the idea that the one who is giving knows who he gave to, but the poor person doesn't know from whom he received. And lower than that is a poor person knowing from whom he got, but the person who gave doesn't know who he gave to. So, where is the greater anonymity? Is the greater anonymity when the ani does know or doesn't know? Where's the greater anonymity? I mean, either way, in the first case, he knows what he did, and he knows where the money went. So if you want to remove yourself from the situation, you would think that who cares if the poor person knows? At least I'm removed from the situation. At least I'm not getting any credit, because he doesn't know that I know. The Rambam says it's zola maila mizo. One is lower than the other. And then he says, what's lower than this? Lower than this is when you give before the beggar asked. You saw a need. He said, hey, you're having a hard time, aren't you? Here's some tzedakah. Lower than this, he says, you respond to a request. Lower than this is, you give less than really you should give. But at least you give it with a smile. And the lowest of all, he says, when you give with a miserable face. That's the lowest level of tzedakah. Now, when we talk about tzedakah, we're talking about a need that has to be filled. Okay, there's somebody who doesn't have lunch. So now he's got lunch. So what's the difference if he does know who gave him lunch or he doesn't know who gave him lunch? What's the difference? What's the difference if he got lunch with a smile or lunch with a frown? He's got lunch. He was hungry. He didn't have a roof over his head. Now he has a roof over his head. He couldn't pay his bills. His electricity was shut off. You helped him put his electricity back on. What difference does it make? What do you mean there's one madrega higher than the other madrega? What difference does it make which madrega? Why do we have to make levels over here? And anyway, ask a child, what's a greater sacrifice? To take somebody in as a partner? To give somebody a loan? Or to give money and not getting back? Ask any child what's a greater sacrifice. Which is harder to do? Come to the child and say, listen kid, can I borrow your Hanukkah gilt? Am I getting it back? Yeah, in 6 months. All right. No problem, I'm just going to sit in my drawer anyway. Sure, you can have my money. Can I have your Hanukkah gilt? No. What do you mean, can you have my, it's my Hanukkah gilt. It's my allowance. I know, but you know, this guy doesn't have any money. Let him go to his parents to get an allowance. What do you want from me? How and why is it that the madregas are one on top of the other or one beneath the other? So the simple answer is that when we give tzedakah, there are two things we need to try to take care of. Number one, there is a need. There's a need. So we should try to fill that need. Number two, we should try to preserve the dignity of the recipient. Because that's part of his need. Part of his need is to feel like a mensch. And when he feels like a schlepper, he feels like a beggar, so you took away his dignity. And therefore, it's true, you fed his stomach, he's got a full stomach, but he doesn't feel good about himself. So he had a low self-esteem, he's got to go beg, and now he had not only had to go beg, but now he has to go, and yes, he's full, he had food, but he feels lousy about himself. So tzedakah is then not about the giver, but tzedakah is really about the recipient. You don't really matter. The less there's you, the more there's the recipient, the higher the tzedakah. Well, what if I didn't give anything? Well, if you didn't give anything, but the person not only had their needs taken care of, but they had their dignity preserved. He took a loan. Everybody takes loans. Millionaires take loans. Billionaires take loans sometimes. Money's tied up. You want to invest in a new project. I need liquid. Taking a loan is not a sign of shame. Taking a loan is a sign of an active business. Every successful business person deals with the banks. So when a person not only received what he needs, but has his dignity preserved intact, this is the highest form of tzedakah. So what I'm trying to say is that tzedakah, it seems, has nothing to do with giving. It has everything to do with the receiving. It's all about the receiving end. Did the people receive what they needed? The answer is yes or no. How did they feel when they received it? Did they feel good or did they feel bad? This is our concern. That's the essence of tzedakah. The Rambam says he's gonna rate tzedakah. And he rates it and he says level above another level. Not lateral, not different kinds of tzedakah. The highest form of tzedakah, you didn't give tzedakah at all. If you ask people from certain faith systems that emphasize the idea of give till you hurt, and the more pain, the more gain, and the more you have to give away, the more you have to sacrifice, which is a Greek word, by the way. It's not a Jewish word. A korban means to come close to Hashem. A korban doesn't mean to sacrifice. There's no mitzvah to have pain. You didn't accomplish anything. But you think God is a masochist? He loves to see you suffer? God wants to see you be devoted. He doesn't need to see you be miserable. Miserable Jews don't make Hashem happy. Hashem looks for happy Jews. He wants you to be happy about the opportunity you have to serve Him. So, if you say, the concept of faith or the concept of observance, it's all about me, it's about my piece of heaven, and it's about how much I gave and how much I will get because I gave and it was a sacrifice. So then, you know, it makes sense to say that there's a difference between somebody who gave more or somebody who gave less. And then when you come and say there's somebody who gave, but he didn't really give anything at all, they say, well, what does he get a reward for? He didn't even do anything. He didn't even make a sacrifice. So the Rambam comes along and he says, the sum total of everything our sages said throughout the Gemara, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, in Safra and in Sifri and in Mechilta and in Medrash, the sum total of all the oral traditions, the sum total is that tzedakah is not about the giver at all. It's not about how much you gave or how hard it was for you to give, but rather about the recipient being cared for. So, my question, which is really just a talking point, but I want to make a point, is if the Rebbe wanted to make a tzedakah campaign, and he wanted this idea of tzedakah being given, then why was there such an emphasis on everybody giving tzedakah? He should have had a campaign to eradicate poverty. He should have had a campaign about the receiving of tzedakah rather than the giving of tzedakah. It's not like a huge question, but I want to make a point. And the next point that I want to introduce is, if there is one mitzvah that the Jewish people have excelled at, even when they forgot about everything else, that one mitzvah would be the mitzvah of tzedakah. In fact, the Rebbe once said it during one of the sichas that he was talking in the winter of 74 and 75, when he was talking about this mitzvah, he said that we see that the Jewish people, that even when they're sleeping, ani yeshena v'li be'er, ani yeshena says the Medrash, l'teiro l'mitzvahs, he's a Jew at heart, he's not doing anything, he's not following any of his Jewish calling, but li be'er, the heart is still awake for tzedakah and milas chasadim. And it's well documented that there is no other ethnic group in the world that per capita gives more tzedakah than Jewish people. In fact, I know this from a person who works for the equivalent of Revenue Canada. What's it called? Huh? The IRS. I know this person who works in the IRS. He said, I was amazed to hear this. He said that in New York State, when they see somebody with a lot of tax receipts, the first question they want to know if he's Jewish. He says, if he's Jewish, they will not necessarily audit. If he's not Jewish, they will order an audit when it's disproportionate. I'm like, come on. Like, really? He says, I'm telling you. He says, this is like, it's not official, doesn't say it anywhere, but this is unspoken. This is, everybody knows. There's no people as charitable as the Jewish people. We are famous for it. And sometimes we give even where we shouldn't be giving. So, you know, what's the proverbial three-day-year Jew? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and he gives to the Federation. That's what he wants from me now. I'm a full Jew. No kashrus, no Shabbos, I don't know if he married Jewish. I gave my pledge. I gave my annual contribution. I'll show up Yom Kippur. The rabbi can yell at me. I thank God I don't have to see him until next year, and that's it. I'm a good Jew. What do you want from me? So yeah, on one hand, this is the most important mitzvah. So if the Rebbe is going to make a mitzvah campaign to stimulate the concept of mitzvahs, the natural mitzvah would be the mitzvah of tzedakah. But then again, that's not the natural mitzvah to make a campaign about, because everybody's doing that already. They're all giving tzedakah already. That's the last thing they're going to lose. What, you're coming to sell ice to the Eskimos? You're trying to come to Jews who give tzedakah already and say, you know, you should be charitable. Rabbi, that's the only thing we do. Of course. So why don't we work on areas that people forgot about? Like the famous story that the Rebbe once sent a message to a fellow in a non-halachic part of the Jewish cultural milieu, who had written, given a speech and written an article about mikveh, and he called it like a mess mitzvah, like a dead mitzvah. And the Rebbe encouraged this fellow to promulgate it and send it around. And it's a long story, but it ended up that somebody read an article, or saw an article, and a mikveh somewhere in London, Ontario, was built because of this article that came out somewhere in the southern states. Oh, like a whole crazy thing. And the Rebbe kept emphasizing, where did you publish it? Did you publish it yet? And so years later, he found out because of his article that a mikveh was built. Okay, so you want to take a mikveh, like a dead mitzvah, and resuscitate it? That's basically was a dead mitzvah. Nobody heard of mikveh 50 years ago. American, Canadian Jews, who has time for that? Either if you're from, you're not. Goodbye, Charlie. So if the Rebbe wanted to take a mitzvah and resuscitate it, so mikveh was a mitzvah to resuscitate. Really, hard mitzvah, by the way, and we give a whole class about that. Why the Rebbe, we think the Rebbe chose that mitzvah. But when you talk about a mitzvah campaign to energize this observance of a mitzvah, the last mitzvah that needs a rejuvenation is the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's the mitzvah that everybody was doing already. So these are like my two talking point questions. It would seem, A, the whole mivtza of tzedakah is not really on the focus of tzedakah. The whole mivtza, the campaign was to get everybody to have a tzedakah box, to get everybody to give tzedakah. And the Rebbe talked about getting everybody to give tzedakah on a daily basis. And that even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he said, well, you can't give tzedakah, at least you see a tzedakah box. So when you see a tzedakah box, it reminds you that when Shabbos and Yom Tov will end, you should give tzedakah then. So it's as if you're still involved in the act of tzedakah, because the tzedakah box, the proverbial pushka, is still visible. And since there's a pushka visible, there's a tzedakah is a part of your life. And when the Rebbe talks about it, it's all about giving. And we got to get everybody to give. And on the other hand, that doesn't seem to be the whole beauty of tzedakah. That's not what tzedakah is about. And point two, this is not exactly the comatose mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah that needed CPR, first aid, or needed to be put on life support. So what did the Rebbe really want? And why was he so insistent that every single Jew should have a pushka? That's what his goal was. Every single Jewish home should have a pushka, he said. He said it should be that you walk into a Yid's house, and I quote, he said, a people should know it's a Yiddish house. And how do you know it's a Yiddish house? Because it's a tzedakah box there. Because a Yid is called Adam, and Adam is the framework of the word Adam comes from, it's lifted from the term Adame, which means in the image of. And how could we be God-like? God gives us. He gives us life. He didn't charge us for it. He gives us eyesight. He gives the ability to hear and communicate and process ideas. Hashem gave us a whole life. And He gives it as tzedakah. And Hashem is kind. So Hashem gives kindness. So it says we should be God-like. What does it mean to be God-like? To clothe the naked, to feed the hungry. That means to be God-like. So therefore, in a Yiddish home where you see a tzedakah box, so then, you know it's a Yiddish home. Every home should have a telltale sign of a Jewish home with a tzedakah box. In a non-Jewish environment, that box is called a piggy bank. It's a paradigm of selfishness. The piggy is not exactly Mr. Generosity, Mr. Congenial. Maybe on the Muppets, but usually pigs are pigs. So we say, oh, you're such a pig. Not a compliment. It means he's selfish. So the world calls it a piggy bank, or a me collection. And for a Yid, And I don't know if there's any other such concept in any other civilization, by the way, any other culture or faith system, where they have this concept of pushka. It's like it's a uniquely Jewish artifact. And if you want to buy Judaica, there aren't that many items you could buy. You could buy Torah ornaments, which you can't do anything with. You could buy a menorah. You could buy candlesticks, a kiddush cup, and a pushka. That's what you have in Judaica. That's the basic Judaica. We don't have that many objects. Yeah, okay, fine. That's really called Tashmishei Kedusha. That's not called Judaica. Tashmishei Kedusha is an artifact of holiness. The mezuzah is sacred. It's holy. Let's say you want to go buy antiques. You want to find something which, unfortunately, we don't have so many antiques. Jewish antiques are very rare because every time we start to prosper a little, they killed us and they burned us and they took all the money away and they chopped everything to pieces. So that's why you find like Judaica that survived from the pogroms and the massacres. And the Holocaust is like a rarity. So it's Judaica is more expensive antiques than any other antiques because we have less of it. But one of the items you'll find in Judaica is pushkas. It's a Jewish thing. Okay. So what's up with this pushka campaign and what's up with this business, this emphasis, this push on everybody having, as the Rebbe said, every Jewish home has to have a charity box. So let's take a look in the primary source of tzedakah. Let's take a look in the Torah, the Chumash. And we're going to see what the actual scripture, the actual words of the Bible say when it talks about tzedakah. You can take a look in the book of Deuteronomy, Chumash Devarim. Take a look in verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 8. The Torah is talking about poor people. And the Torah is talking about our need to eradicate poverty. To do what we could to support others. So the Torah says, Poseach Tiftach. Which we would freely translate as, you will surely open. Poseach tiftach means you will surely open your hand. But in Hebrew, poseach tiftach means it says the same word twice. Poseach tiftach. So why does it say the word poseach and tiftach is the word, both words mean open. Open, you shall open. Why does it say open, you shall open? Why didn't it just say poseach es yadecha? Open your hand. And give the poor person what he needs. Poseach es yadecha v'havet lo. Why poseach tiftach? So Rashi says that the reason we have this redundancy, he quotes from the Sifri, which is the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Devarim, and he says, afilu kama pamim. Even if a person comes and he asks, and the next day he says, you again? I gave you yesterday. I know, but you know, things are hard. Okay, I give you again. The next week he's back. You back again? I just gave you last week. I know, but you know. So the idea of tzedakah means I give, then I give it again. Give, and give again. Okay. A few verses later, now we move forward to verse 11, in the very same chapter. Verse 10, pardon me. Two verses later. The Torah talks about tzedakah again. And the Torah says, Nason titein. Again, a redundancy. You will surely give him. Give him, you will give him. So why does it say the word nasina, not no saying? Why does it say that twice? So this time Rashi says, afilu mea pamim. Even 100 times. So the Rabbi wants to explain the difference between the first expression, which is afilu kama pamim, and the second one is afilu mea pamim. He says, perseach tiftach is, the person is getting. All you're doing is opening your hand. We don't talk about the act of giving, it's more about the recipient. So even the recipient keeps coming back. You still keep giving the recipient. Feel a common problem. When then it comes nason titan, the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, where the Torah uses the word giving. It says give, and then give again. Nason titan. So the Torah uses, Rashi says, afilu mei upon him. Even 100 times. So to mefarshim of Rashi explain, it doesn't mean 100, any less than it means 101, or 105. 100 is just a proverbial number. It's a mathematical number of like, you know, 10 squared, whatever you call it. Like it's like a, you know, it's rounded off to the closest 100. So 100 times, now Pikabala, that represents Keichas HaNefesh, the soul powers in their fully blown proportion, because we have 10 soul powers, and each 10 is comprised of 10, so 10 times 10 gives you 100. So then this Nosin Titan, you give, you keep giving. It's about you, the Rebbe said, here it's a Nosin. It's your action. So you give, and you give again, and you give again. It's not the same person. I gave 100 people, now it's another person. I have to keep giving, I have to continuously give a filo mea pamim. So the classic Mefarshim say you have to give, and they talk about this idea of giving, and that if you give, Hashem will give you, and Hashem will enable you to keep giving. That's the classic, typical Mefarshim. So the Zarishin is called Toldos Yitzchak. And he writes like this. He says there are people who give tzedakah, and they give tzedakah to be mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. To fulfill the mitzvah. But they do not give tzedakah willingly. They give tzedakah, he says, heipach ritzoinam. They're not happy about this. Do I have to give? Yes. All right. I'll give him. Sound familiar? Come on! How many times? Another schnur! What do you want from him? Okay, yeah, we can't turn him away. Oh, what do I have to give? All right, I'll give him. So he says, the Toldos Yitzchak says, that's what the Torah says, nasoin titein. You will surely give him. And it says, v'leyeda levavcha. You won't begrudge him. You won't feel miserable in your heart. B'sidchalei, when you give him. Why does it say, v'leyeda levavcha? You shouldn't look down at this fellow who's asking. Say, I can't believe he's asking me again. Another miserable guy who's after me. These schnurs never leave me alone. Everybody is asking. Everybody wants a piece of me. Says, v'leyeda levavcha. And then the Toldos Yitzchak says something fascinating. He says, Yaiser Taib Shayitin Ha'adam La Elef. The person should give 1,000 people $1 each, so to speak, than giving to one person $1,000. Why? Shekishanoisen Harbe Pa'amim, says the Toldos Yitzchak. When you give a lot, Umargilatzme Bekach, this becomes second nature. Koine kinyan hanadivus. You acquire the gift of enjoying the gift of tzedakah. It becomes a nature. Giving comes naturally to you. How does it come naturally to you? When you repeat it. And the Toldos Yitzchak says, if you'll take a look in the Rambam, at the words, the way he explains the words of Rabbi Akiva, Hakar lefi reiv ha-maisa, you'll see that this is a Maimonidean idea. The Rambam says this. And how do we know that a person has acquired the gift of learning how to give? Says the Toldos Yitzchak, Kisha oise besimcha, when he gives this joyously. Ukisha targa latzmecha b'nesina, when you get yourself used to it. Excuse me. When you get yourself used to it, then you won't have yeda levavcha, you won't feel miserable in your heart. And you'll give it with joy. A new idea. The Toldos Yitzchak is telling us that the reason that the Torah says nasoin titein is not because I should give a lot. It's not because there's many people who need. He doesn't say this on Pesach Tiftach. Rebbe explains. Pesach Tiftach is about the recipient. That nasoin titein, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Torah telling us to give and to give and to give and to give again, to keep on giving on a regular basis. Because when you keep on giving on a regular basis, eventually you'll do the mitzvah with joy. The Nachal Kedumim says clear, the words Nasain Titan, he says, you know what it means? Nasain Titan means Na'anliyim Merubim. Give it to many people. Give many times tzedakah, many different people. Valyeda Levavcha, the Targum Yerushalmi explains, give the tzedakah, the Lev Sameach. With a joyous heart. So now you understand where the Toldos Yitzchak is coming from when he says that the Torah's commandment of giving tzedakah is giving tzedakah many times. Now, this has to be understood. Because that means, if a person comes over and he has a need, and he needs $1,000, that's what he needs. And I have $1,000. So I'm sorry, I really can't help you. I can't give you $1,000. This is not about you, this is about me. I need to get more mitzvahs. I'm just giving you $1. The guy says, but I have to find $999. No, that's your problem. That's your problem. And now I'm going to find another person. Give him another dollar. Oh, if one, come back to me tomorrow, I'll give you another dollar. So the poor guy has to come back now for 3 years in a row until he gets his $1,000. Why? Because Mr. Tzaddik over here wants to be meritorious. He says, I'm not going to give you $1,000 and save your life. I have to need the mitzvah, right? It's like that. There's a story, it's only a half a joke, that there was once a village of very, very frum people in Lithuania. And they were so frum that the miserable, horrible day for them was Purim. It's the worst day on the calendar. Why? Because a whole day they were worried that the poor person they gave the tzedakah to, maybe he wasn't poor. And therefore they didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So there was a very a day of great, great anxiety. And finally a guy came to town, pashat, like a step away from being naked. This guy didn't have a penny to his name. They immediately arrested him and locked him in a basement. He said, what do you want from me? I have nothing. They said, no, this is perfect. We're going to keep you here half alive until Purim. And then on Purim, we can fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. Which everybody understands that that's borderline insanity. Is that what Hashem wanted? That we should torment people? The guy has a need. Oh, you have needs. That's your problem. Now, how does that square with the words of the Rambam who says that the highest level of tzedakah is not me giving at all? The highest level of tzedakah is when I'm able to provide somebody with a need, and if I can save their dignity and give them their needs, then I'm really a tzaddik. Then I'm amazing. And here all of a sudden we're hearing this idea of Nosin Titain, told the Yitzchak telling us that's the pshat in the pasuk. The Nachal Kedumim says that's the simple pshat. That's what you have to read, the literal words of the verse that teaches us about tzedakah. And the Toldos Yitzchak says, it's not my idea. Go look at the Rambam. It's the Rambam's idea. He already said this on a Mishnah. The Toldos Yitzchak is explaining a pasuk like this. He wrote a commentary on Chumash. He's explaining the verse from which we derive the mitzvah of tzedakah. He says, that's the meaning of the mitzvah. What are you talking about? Since when is tzedakah about you? Since when is tzedakah about your giving? Well, the Toldos Yitzchak is not the only one. The Biesis Yaivitz, he says it's a very similar thing. He lived in a different place. He didn't see the Toldos Yitzchak. He says very received a similar tradition. He says there's a pasuk in Tehillim. There's a verse in the Book of Psalms that says Leiv Tahar Barah Li Alikim. God has created a heart, a pure heart for me. So what does this mean? He says. He says that the source, and he brings another pasuk that says Mikol Mishmer Netzer Libcha Ki Mimenu Teitzes Chaim. You better watch your heart because you know. Life or the opposite comes out of there. Be very careful with how you feel about things in your heart. Says the Biesef Yaivitz. You know what this means, he says? Moker kol ha-mitzvahs v'ho averis. The source of all mitzvahs and all averis. Those are polar opposites. Those are the good things, the things you should do, and the bad things, the things you shouldn't do. He says the source of everything good or bad, appropriate or inappropriate behavior is the heart. It's all the heart. Im alev toiv, if he has a good heart, kol ha'ivarim yativu darkam. The person will fall into step. He'll behave, if he has a good heart, his heart's in the right place, everything will be in the right place. And he gives a mashal. He says, I'll give you a metaphor. Imagine, if you will, he says, a source of water, a natural source of water. We call a mayan, a spring. He says, this spring, this mayan, It flows into many, many smaller tributaries. So it's like a fountainhead. It's like the source. And it's got all kinds of small rivers and streams and creeks and small bodies of water that come off it. So he says, what happens if you destroy one tributary? If you ruin, in some way, you fill it with silt or rocks, you ruin the path of the water is dispersed. You ruin one of these bodies of water. What happens? Everything else still flows. He says, but what if you ruin the Mayan? What if you ruin the fountainhead? Then you shut everything down. He said, no business then. So he says, that's why Hashem is telling you, you have to put so much emphasis on the heart. That's why David HaMelech says, Leiv Tahar, talks about the purity of heart, because everything he says is in the heart. Says it B'Yosef Yaivitz. And that is the meaning of the Bosek Nosan Titoin. Because if you will give nasain titain, you will give a lot. What will happen? He says, you'll become good-hearted. By the way, as a point of interest, behavioral psychologists today have been talking about this. This is a very popular idea, at least the last 50 years. They're saying that the way you can get to change behavior is through repetition. It's a big idea. Everybody is all excited they discovered this. Except we said we always knew this. That's what the Torah says. It turns his nasa in titain. Why should you give and give and give? Because if you give and keep giving and you get used to giving, then it will become second nature. There's nature and there's nurture. Nurture creates nature. That's what the Torah wants you to do. The Torah wants you to be good. And therefore, the only way you can become good is by repetitively being good. So if you be good and then you be good and you keep acting and doing good things, eventually being good comes naturally.
Why the duplication? Why do they have to say Naton Titen first and immediately follow Eloi Ra'alevacha?
So, you're asking on the surface a very good question. Why does it have to say Nosa in Titen and then Veleyed Olevavcha? That you shouldn't be. I will explain to you why. But it's not a duplication. The Torah is explaining why Nosa in Titen. You know why Nosa in Titen? The way these Pashtonim, the way these commentaries explain. Do you know why it says, V'yeleyed elavavcha? Nosa in titin, give and give and give and give and get yourself into the habit of giving so that you will not be miserable in your heart. That's the only way you'll get rid of the natural greed and selfishness. You'll overcome the desire to keep your fists clenched by continuously giving. Everybody's born selfish. Everybody's born greedy. It's human nature. Every child wants to be taken care of. Every child wants to be held and rocked. Would you go to sleep, kid? We're trying to sleep a little over here. I understand you feel a little funny now and you're used to being cradled and like being warm, but like, you know, mom and dad have to sleep. So just sleep. In the morning, I'll talk to you. No. Now, if your child is still doing that when they're 9, you're in trouble. If they're still doing that when they're 19, then you're really in trouble. Yeah, right? But if the baby does that, that's normal. If the baby doesn't cry at night, parents get very nervous. Why didn't the baby wake up? Something wrong with the baby. They go running over to check. It's really a bowl of selfishness. That's what the baby is. He's totally selfish. He's not evil, chas v'shalom. He's just selfish. He's totally innocent. He doesn't know it's wrong to be selfish. A few years later, he arrives in nursery school. And for the last 2.5 or 3 years of his life, he has been the apple of his mother's eye. And Bubby and Zaidi, ooh, and ah, and the aunts and uncles, and everybody is spoiling them silly. And now he showed up in the classroom, and he looks around him, and there's now 21 other brats in the room. And they're all spoiled the same way. And there can't be 21 fire trucks and 21 dolls. You got to diversify, you know. So you have a drama center, and a this center, and a that center. But you know how it is. On the first day, all 21 children decided they want the one fire truck. They're all fighting over the same doll. You walk in the halls of the nursery the first day, you would think that this is a torture chamber. It's wailing, crying, it's gefährlich. A week goes by, starting to whimpering, you know. A few weeks later, they don't want to go home with their parents. Why? Because they had their first lesson in life, which is not A, B, or C, or 1, 2, or 3. What's the first lesson in life? Not red or blue, not smooth or soft or rough. The first lesson in life is, I am not the center of the universe, and I have to share. And I have to be a mensch zwischen menschen. I have to learn that I am not the most important person in the world, and that if I can give, I will get more. It's basic education. It's called basic social anthropology. So just becoming a human being, becoming a mensch, instead of being a selfish animal. So that's on a very simple level. But on a more profound level, there's this idea of repetitively forcing yourself to do acts of kindness, that will make you kind. That will remove the natural selfishness. Everybody is selfish. Everybody thinks about themselves. Nobody is born loving to share. Some people have, it's a bigger challenge. Some people it's a smaller challenge. I used to have a chavrusa with a Holocaust survivor. And I was in, doesn't matter where I was. I was a bacher. And this fellow was fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy. But he had a very hard time giving tzedakah. And he once told me, I didn't want to copy his accent because somebody out there is going to recognize the voice because I do him pretty good. He once told me, he said, help me with my Yetzer Hara. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I want to give, I can't. I can't give, he says, I just can't bring myself to give. I'm like, how would you like me to help you? Like, I'd love if you gave our yeshiva a few dollars. He couldn't give. And he gave a little tzedakah. It was very hard for him. It's very hard. He went through the terrible deprivation. He was a 17-year-old boy in Auschwitz. And he lived on survival instinct. And it did something to him. he was not able to function like a normal person. He told me, I can't part with a dollar. He was cheap on himself too. He once came in with his jacket. I said, where's your jacket? He said, I forgot it somewhere. He says, don't worry, it's a piece of junk. He said, nobody's going to take it. The guy, he couldn't spend a dollar on himself. It's like a sickness, right? We have to now be the polar opposite. We have to become giving people. How do you become a giving person? You force yourself. You force yourself. You keep forcing yourself. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It's like, you know, today people have an experience, like a phobia. How do you overcome your phobia? By confronting your phobia. If you had a problem with a dog, you better go near dogs afterwards. You'd be terrified to go near a dog. You need to confront it. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. That's the concept of Nasan Titan. Mincha Belulah says the same thing. He says Nasan Titan means Shetikne Hanedivut, that you will acquire the gift and nature of being generous. And how does that happen, he says? Binesinois Harbe. When you give a lot. When you give a lot, you become generous. And then, to answer your question, Vadai Oz Bal Yeda Oid Lavavcha. You'll knock the evil out of your heart. The natural desire not to give will be removed. Because it needs to be said. Because it took scientists about 2,500 years later till they discovered that behavioral therapy happens when you get people to do things again and again. It's not written in any books 100 years ago. It's not so simple. It's a Torah truism which people did not recognize. We have always lived that way, but people did not recognize this. And I'll finish off with the words of Rabbeinu Yoel, who says, Nosan Titen, you know what it means? It means everybody has to give tzedakah. Including the person who just got tzedakah. He says that Nosan, the person received Titen, now he gives to the next one. Even a poor person has to give tzedakah. So what we're talking here, clearly, is not about the accomplishment of tzedakah, or the virtue of tzedakah, or what is the most effective tzedakah. We're talking here about the effect of tzedakah on me as an individual. We're talking about my mitzvah, I have to be an oved Hashem, I'm supposed to serve God. And how do I become more effective in my service of God, which ultimately, if I become more generous, then people will get their needs taken care of because I'm more generous. Why the needs not taken care of? Because I'm not generous enough. If I became more generous, then they would be taken care of. You have to understand, if you the same way you have this idea that if you give him a fish, you fed him lunch, but teach him to fish, you take care of the rest of his life. In the same way, you say if you teach a person to give tzedakah one time, you got one need taken care of. If you teach him to give and to give and to give and to give, all needs will be taken care of. It doesn't mean when the person comes and needs $1,000 that you give him $1,000 and say, okay, come back tomorrow. That's not what it means. It means that a person has to get used to giving. It means that a person has to get used to becoming charitable. A person has to be used to being generous. And that happens when we give. So let's take a look at this Rambam that we're talking about. This is Rambam, which was mentioned by the Mefarshim on Chumash. The Rambam comments on the words in the third chapter of Pirkei Avot. Different systems. 15th Mishnah, 16th Mishnah, 19th Mishnah, depends how you divide the Mishnah up. But bottom line, in this third chapter, there's words attributed to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, it's all available. Everything Hashem gives you, the ability, everything, you have every possibility before you. And then he says, V'hakoil l'fi reiv ha-maisa. It all follows the amount of doing, the volume of doing. So what does this mean? Rashi says it means reiv ha-maisa, that there's a scale. So we say more mitzvahs or more avedas. Reiv ha-maisa, weigh the scale down. You did more mitzvahs, the good scale weighs down. You did more avedas, the bad scale weighs down. The Rambam says that his version of the Mishnah read, Hakol lefi roiv ha-maisa, avaloi al pi ha-maisa. He said it's not the act, but it's the repetition, it's the volume of the act. And the Rambam says, Ein amidot atovot niknin al pi godel ha-maisa. You will not transform your personality by doing a big thing. You will only change as a person through the volume of activity. It's not the big action, it's not the big mitzvah, it's the volume of mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam says. It's interesting that the emphasis in the Rambam is Roiv and not Goydel, because there's some manuscripts in the Mishnah that say Hakolufi Goydel HaMaisa. Everything is how big a Maisa, how big a mitzvah. The Rambam rules that out. He says it's not about how big a mitzvah, it's Lufi Roiv HaMaisa. It's about volume. Interestingly, in the translation of the Rambam's works, the Pirush of Mishnayos is written in Arabic. It's originally translated by the man named Ibn Tibbon. So Ibn Tibbon translates, Avaloi al pi goydel hamaisa. He adds the word goydel. He says the Rambam emphasizes it's not about the impact. It's not about how effective or big a mitzvah you did, but the emphasis is on how many times you did it. Rabbeinu Bachaya bases his commentary on what the Rambam says. He brings down the first interpretation of the first version of the Mishnayos. And then he says the Rambam of blessed memory had a different version. And he elaborates on the Rambam. And he explains. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, in amayles magiyes la'adam, a person does not become virtuous. People have always sought to be virtuous. Aristotle talks about virtue. Socrates talks about virtue. It's not a Jewish thing to talk about virtue. Everybody talks about what is a virtuous life and what is a virtuous person. For us, what's virtuous? To live a life of Torah, to live a life the way Hashem wants us to be. That's what we define virtue. But the Rabbeinu Bachaya says that the Rambam is telling you that you cannot achieve levels of virtue rak only b'kfoil ha-toiva pa'amim rabbis. Only when you do this many times. The repetitive nature. Al yidei zeh yagia kinyan chazak. Then it becomes solidly yours. He says, loikesh yasa poil echad gadol, not when you did one huge mitzvah. No, that doesn't bring an inner transformation. So you knocked your Yetzirah down, and one time you did the right thing. It was a huge mitzvah. It was an enormous act of sacrifice. It was a great act of Kiddush Hashem and holiness. But it doesn't change you. Because you went right back to being who you were before. But the way, and he gives a mashal. What's Rabbeinu Bechaya's mashal? Rabbeinu Bechaya's commentary on the Rambam. They told us Yitzchak wrote a Pirush on Chumash. What's Rabbeinu Bechaya's mashal when he's explaining the Rambam? He says, the himshal boy, the mashal is that a person should give pam achas elef zehuvim, one time 100 gold coins, and then he won't give anything afterwards. I did my mitzvah. I gave what they call in the world of a non-profit today a transformational benefaction. So big tycoons, the big givers, they don't want to give little money here and there. They give a gift which is a transformational benefaction, and they derive immense satisfaction from being transformational. So who's it about?
Himself.
Exactly. I was a transformational benefactor. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Mr. Transformational Benefactor, Yasher Koach, you did good things, and wonderful things were accomplished because of your generosity, but you should know you didn't change as a person. The only way that you will change, layale biyode milos anadivus, you will not become generous from one act of titanic generosity. You will become generous. Lemishe esnativ elef zehuvim elef pamim. The person who gave the 1,000 gold coins, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he gave it 1,000 times. That's how you become generous. Because it's a person who was generous, and then he was generous again, and he was generous again, and he was continuously generous. And because he was continuously generous, that's how his nature changes. Rabbeinu Yoina comments on the Rambam, and he comments on the Mishnah, and he builds on the Rambam's idea, and he says, what did the Rambam mean when he said, Hakoylifi Roiv HaMaisa? When he talks about Midot Tovot, what did the Rambam mean? Which mitzvah? Did he mean putting on tefillin every single day? If you want to be an observer Jew, you have to put on tefillin every single day. Did he mean lighting Shabbat candles every Friday night? How else do you want to be an observer Jew? Light Shabbat candles once a month, once a year, once in 10 years? How do you want to be an observer Jew? All the mitzvahs require repetition. All mitzvahs, you have to do them on a regular basis. Which mitzvah did he mean? Says Rabbeinu Yoina. I'll tell you, he says, he meant Inyan HaTzedakah. He meant Tzedakah. Because, and he uses the same words as Rabbeinu Bechaya, and Rabbeinu Yoina and Rabbeinu Bechaya lived in different continents and did not meet and they did not have any conversations. And maybe they didn't even have people they knew in common. And didn't live at the same time. One lived in France, one lived in North Africa. but they had the same tradition, the same Torah truism, that the teaching of their predecessor, the Rambam, was that when you give tzedakah many, many times, it changes you. When the Rebbe was talking about mitzvah tzedakah on one occasion, he said that when a child is told to memorize verses by heart, he memorizes verses, no problem. A child is told to do a mitzvah, he does a mitzvah. When the child is told, give half your allowance to tzedakah, he says, no. That I'm not doing. Why should I give my money away? And the Rebbe said, that's mitzvah tzedakah, which is like mitzvah chinuch, he said. It's like the mitzvah of education, which a mitzvah of education that we talked about means that you should be influential, you should change people's lives, but of course it starts with small children. That you get the child, how do you educate a child? He said, you have to get the child to part with his own money. It's a big deal to do that. And that's why we want to give Chanukah geld. So we want to give an allowance. You give an allowance because you teach a child that the child should share. And when you teach the child to share, the Rebbe said the child becomes a charitable child. The truth is that the Alter Rebbe speaks about this in Igeres HaKadosh in many places. He talks about this Maimonidean idea of Lefi Reiv HaMaisa. The Alter Rebbe says that if a person gives tzedakah because he is kind-hearted, then he's just simply following his natural instinct. He's doing what Jews do, because that's who Jews are naturally. And we have a hard time being somebody else. So the Jew has what we call, the language used is the guilt. The Jewish genetic disease that we all got from our mother. We got Jewish guilt. See, he feels guilty, so he gives tzedakah. Is he really a generous person? No, he's a guilty Jew. He just feels bad. He feels bad, so he feels he has to do something about it. But that's not really avodas Hashem. Serving Hashem is not to assuage your guilt. Serving Hashem is not to feel good to know that I made a contribution. Serving Hashem means that it's not about me, that I am able to transcend myself and my needs and my wants and do what is right. So avodas Hashem, the Rebbe said, there's no greater way to teach a child avodas Hashem than teach him to give what belongs to him. You know, there's that golden oldie silly joke, but it makes a good point, that they asked the fellow, are you ready to give everything to the Communist Party? He said, everything. He said, if you had a house, would you give it? Of course, he said. If you had a cottage, of course, he said. If you had a car, of course, he said. If you had a cow, of course, he said. How about a chicken? He said, no. They said, a cottage, a house, a car, a cow. Why wouldn't you give a chicken? He says, because a chicken I have. That I have, he says. That a person should give what's his? Nobody likes to do that. And that, my dear friends, is where Avodas Hashem begins. So like this. What did the Rebbe want with Mivtzeh Tzedakah? A little bit, I'm just trying to imagine this. Maybe I'm being silly or foolish, but let's think about this. People grew up once upon a time in a shtetl. In every shtetl, every small place, there was always beggars. There was always poor people. Jewish homes were open homes. It's a Mishnah. Yihi beischa pasuach lervacha. But your home should be an open home. You should have poor people in the house. The beginning of the entitlement generation, suburbia, when does it start? This new reality where everybody lives in their own little enclave, where everybody doesn't, where all of a sudden homes are places where you let maybe relatives in. And really today, it's dangerous also. There's all kinds of kooks and spooks out there. It's not even so simple to open your home. It's children, you have to protect your children. Like, the world has changed. And what used to be a thing that people gave tzedakah on a regular basis, not everybody lives downtown with homeless people in the street. In suburbia, there's nobody sitting in the street. The average child growing up in the 70s, when did he know or hear of tzedakah? The average Jew, okay, once every year he wrote his check, they called him up and made him feel guilty. This is your federation calling. You did it. Okay, I'll give you some money. Leave me alone. And that's it. He came to the shoulder, made an appeal. He gave him the tzedakah. That's it. He ran away. When did people experience generosity on a regular basis? The answer is they didn't. I'm not talking about observant Jews. From Yidden always had a tzedakah pushka in the house. But most of the Jewish world, they lost the art of tzedakah. In North America, there's a new reality. A new reality of suburbia. A new reality of you don't see poverty. A new reality of people don't know what it means to give tzedakah. Who gives tzedakah? That's a pledge. Once a year you give something. A pledge once a year you give something doesn't make you a charitable person. What the Rebbe wanted with Mitzvah Tzedakah, I would like to humbly suggest, is make the Jewish people generous again. He wanted to make us charitable again. Because there became a lost art. is one of the first terrible, shall we say, korbanos, one of the first casualties of North American life. A casualty of comfort. The casualty of living in my own little corner. And yes, I heard there's a child in Cambodia or Rwanda, so I saw an article and I wrote a check once. But the idea that once upon a time a Yid gave with an open hand, all the stories in the Gemara of people going to poor people's homes and dropping food over them, of the Chachamim who had the money satchel open in the back for people to take out, of people who would find way, who heard of it in the 60s and 70s? It's like a forgotten art. And if I need a Shena, the Libyer, if I'm sleeping for Tatum Mitzvahs, and the only thing I'm awake for is still Tzedakah, could there be a better way or an easier way to stimulate the Yiddish and Neshama than say, just put something in a pushka every day? If you put something in a pushka every day, then all of a sudden your Jewishness starts to come out. It's the beginning to the reclamation of the Yiddish and Neshama. If you want to be able to rejuvenate the Jewish soul, you have to take the mitzvah that the Rambam says is the most important mitzvah of all the mitzvahs, say, we had Jews are the most charitable people, transformational benefactions, annual contributions. How about giving tzedakah on a regular basis? Who ever heard of it? So the Rebbe said, here's a mitzvah, here's a campaign. What's the campaign? It's a tzedakah box campaign. That every Jewish home should have a tzedakah box. The Rebbe spoke about children having their name written on the tzedakah box. And they learn to take pride that when tzedakah box is full, so look, I filled up my tzedakah box. That he actually delights in having given something away. This is what we read about. Yerushalmi says, Ayer Levavcha, give besimcha, Targum Yerushalmi. This is what the Nachat Kedumim says, give and give and give. This is what all the Rishonim are saying over here. All the Rishonim are commenting on this idea, the way the Torah couched these terms of Nasa and Titein. We're not talking about the virtues of tzedakah. The Rambam talks about the virtues of tzedakah. He says the highest virtue of tzedakah is when the recipient not only has his needs met, but didn't lose his dignity. And actually, you don't have to lose anything at all. But in order to do that, you have to be a generous person first. In order to take the poor person and make him a partner, in order to give you money as a loan and not know if you're getting it back, in order for you to be able to be sensitive, to be concerned, you first have to become generous. And for heaven's sake, how do you become generous if we're born selfish? The Torah's answer is nosin titein. The way you become generous is by doing acts of generosity. The Rebbe was the busiest person in the century. But every time he went to davening, any small child that was there, the Rebbe stopped and gave him a coin to put in the pushka. In the later years, there was once on a particular morning, the Rebbe came in, it was children standing on the pushka. It took 45 minutes for the Rebbe to get to his place. Because of the way in the davening, the Rebbe didn't stop as a child. Because chinuch, it's all about education. It's all about, what did he educate the child to do? To give. To give. Think about it. When the Rebbe couldn't, the volume was impossible for Yechidus anymore. Most people don't know. 3 nights a week for almost 35 years, the Rebbe didn't go to sleep. Every person who came to be seen was seen as ever spending with every single person. I wonder if in history ever there was such a person who did this. And then the volume became impossible. So what did the Rebbe do? The Rebbe started dollars. What's dollars? The Rebbe started dollars that he's inspiring a person to give an act of tzedakah. People wanted to just come see the Rebbe a moment, just look in the Rebbe's eyes. Bracha v'atzlacha. The Rebbe connected with the tzedakah. He was giving. He wasn't giving. The Rebbe was inspiring. He was educating. He was igniting. He was causing mitzvahs of tzedakah. And think about the tens of thousands of dollars that the Rebbe distributed and how many acts of kindness that in turn engendered. And it's almost like you could just boggle your mind from the ripple effect. It's literally global. One man, global effect. This is Mivtza Tzedakah. Mivtza Tzedakah is not another appeal. Mivtza Tzedakah is not let's get the Jewish people to contribute money to Israel or to another good cause. Mivtza Tzedakah is let us ensure that the Jewish people remain generous, that they learn to give. Because if you will train them to give from a very small age on, if every municipal building will have a tzedakah box, if every mayor's office and council person will have a tzedakah box, if in the Knesset there will be a tzedakah box, if wherever we go we give a tzedakah box, and people see a tzedakah box, it's not a piggy bank, It's a tzedakah box. What's a pushka? A tzedakah box is an opportunity to give tzedakah. If Shabbos and Yom Tov in the home on the table near the candlesticks is sitting a tzedakah box, because before you lit candles, you put money in the pushka. And the child looks, what does the child see? The child sees we have to make light, we have to bring light of Yiddishkeit into the world, and we have to give tzedakah. A tzedakah box in every home makes tzedakah second nature. That, I think, seems, is what the Rebbe wanted with this mitzvah. So if a mitzvah, if a campaign is supposed to ignite Yiddish neshamas, this is the most obvious, the most profound, in some ways the most easiest, but the most important. If the tzedakah campaign was supposed to bring us into, to hasten the coming of Mashiach, the Rambam said it right there, we read in the beginning. We talked about the reestablishment of Jewish sovereignty. How does it happen? The Rambam said right in the beginning. You know how it happens? One way. Ein kisi yisrael miskeinen. Only b'tzedakah. And geula? Rebbe wanted geula. He wanted to hasten the coming of Mashiach. There you go. Ein yisrael nigalen, ela b'tzedakah. It doesn't say ein yisrael nigalen, ela b'transformational benefactions. It doesn't say ein yisrael nigalen because there's an idea of one time doing a big mitzvah. B'tzedakah. And the Torah, the Bible, the source of it all, when it talks about the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, nasein titein. You should be generous, you should be charitable. Virtues of tzedakah, it's another story. That's the end of the chapter. But you should be charitable. The Rebbe also said that he was very concerned about Israel, and very concerned about security of the Jewish people, and the safety of the soldiers. And the Rebbe said the same thing as he spoke about with regard to mitzvah mezuzah, which talked about the idea of mezuzah, how the mezuzah brings protection. The Rebbe said the same thing also applies to the concept of tzedakah. Why? Because the Medrash says, with regard to tzedakah, ata hechayesa es nefesh ha'ani, you gave life to the poor person who was starving and impoverished. You should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yichaya isoch, I will make you live. So bitachon, security, is to protect life. So tzedakah is the most natural way to protect life. And one gives tzedakah on one side of the globe, and he brings a bracha for a Jew somewhere else on the other side of the globe. And that's the meaning of a mitzvah campaign. It means to spark a global transformation. We, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, our job is to be Or LaGoyim. Our job is to make a global transformation. So what's the first thing you have to do? You have to transform the Jewish people. If you get the Jewish people to claim their lofty mantle, to claim their glorious inheritance, to become generous, to become Bali Tzedakah, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to, if we are generous, if we learn to give, if we learn to care, and everything else, the whole world then will learn from our example, the Ein Yisrael Nigolin Ela B'Tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, we should be Zoicha from all these thousands and tens of thousands and probably millions of acts of Tzedakah ever since the beginning of the Tzedakah campaign, that we should be zeicha finally to the coming of Mashiach Tzedkenu, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen. Now how cool is that? Now really.